As promised, it's a delight to bring on a scholar whose work I've been following for many, many years. Helps get us through this these dual conversations that I think are taking place, where one is influencing the other. On the one hand, there's common sense, which doesn't seem to be in the mainstream much. On the other, there's this discussion that all of this is about racism. I mean, part of the interesting cultural temperature right now, folks, is that I think the average man on the street would say, because of the flood of discussion from the mainstream media and from the administration, that there is a generalized racism in our criminal justice system and in our police forces. One of the great scholars to help disabuse that notion and restore us to common sense is Dr. John Lott, John R. Lott Jr. He had a piece in the New York Post, fabulous, Obama's False Racism Claims Are Putting Cops' Lives in Danger. He is the author, most recently, of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Dr. Lott, welcome to the airwaves of Phoenix.
Oh, thanks very much for having me on.
I wonder if you might, for our audience, just kind of reprise some of what you wrote in the New York Post, because I do think rhetoric matters, and I do think the cultural temperature matters, and I do think the president has set it in large part on this idea of racism, or at least racialism, and I too think it's largely false, but you've disaggregated and dissected the data as only you can. Would you say, go ahead and talk about your piece.
Sure. Okay. The one thing that most disturbs me about President Obama's statements is that he keeps talking about things before we know any facts about the particular case. So Thursday, literally just several hours before the shooting of police officers in Dallas, the president was out there commenting on two shootings that had occurred just the night before in Louisiana and Mississippi.
Right.
When we had almost no facts about it, and his bottom line was that there was endemic racism in police departments across the country, and that he believed that these two cases in Louisiana and Mississippi typified that type of racism. You know, he didn't go beyond that, but that was more than enough, particularly when it was kind of combined with his empirical claim supposedly proving racism being endemic for police departments. So among the things that he would say is that, look, blacks and Hispanics together make up just a little bit over 30% of the U.S. population, but they make up about half of people in prison. And the fact that, you know, they didn't make up both 30% of the population and 30% of the people in prison, according to President Obama, was proof that there was racism there. You know, it just amazes me that he could make statements like that. I mean, it's kind of akin to saying, well, look, men make up 49% of the population, but they make up 93% of the people in prison. Does that prove that men are being discriminated against, that there's gender bias against men in the legal system there? I assume not. What it causes it to happen is that men are more likely to commit crimes than women are. They're a lot more likely to commit crimes than women are. And so you have to somehow take into account the fact that not all racial groups in the United States commit crimes at the same rate. In fact, if anything, blacks in particular are arrested and convicted at a lower rate for committing crimes than whites are. And one of the main reasons for that is that blacks are very heavily involved in gangs. About 80% of the people involved in gangs are either blacks or Hispanics. Most of them are, you know, so it's the vast majority of people there. And the problem is gang violence is particularly difficult to go and solve. If you have a gang murder, particularly if you have like two gangs fighting against each other, or you have a gang taking out some local citizen, it's hard to convince people to speak out publicly and identify the gang people who were involved in the murder there. They're afraid for their own safety when they're living in those areas, and or for the safety of their family. And so they're involved in cases that are relatively hard to prove, and so that explains why, in fact, if anything, compared to the rate that they commit crime, they're actually punished at a relatively lower rate.
You know, one of the we're talking to John Lott. One of the interesting things, Dr. Lott, that you brought up in your column also, and I didn't know this. I think I'm a little smarter on this than the average person, and I read you, and I read and host other scholars on these kinds of issues like Heather MacDonald, et cetera. But I didn't know this. Which was the black population and their reporting of violent crimes at higher rates than whites do, which has several interesting implications to it. I wonder if you might say a word about that.
It's kind of interesting, and that is black victims are much more likely to report violent crimes committed against them than victims in any other racial group. Black victims are about 9 percentage points more likely to go and report violent crimes than white victims are, and they're much more likely than either Asians or Hispanics. You would think that if victims were convinced that the police were racist in the sense that they don't care about solving those crimes, or that they would simply arrest, if a crime was committed against them by a black, which the vast majority of them are, that if they said that they had been a victim of a crime, that the police would just arrest some other innocent black to punish and not the person who committed the crime, you would think that people would be very, very reticent to report those to the police. And what would be the point of reporting those to the police if they were just going to end up getting some innocent black in trouble?
Can I hold you over for one more segment, Dr. Lott? We're going into a commercial break. Can I keep you for another few minutes?
Sure.
We'll be right back with Dr. John Lott. He is the author of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lives. But today's discussion is about his piece in the New York Post, Obama's False Racism Claims Are Putting Cops' Lives in Danger. Seth Liebson here with Chris Buskirk, as we always are on Monday. And we'll be right back with Dr. John Lott. We are pleased to be joined for another segment with Dr. John Lott, author of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Before we were heading into the break, Dr. Lott, we're talking also about mostly about your piece on Obama's false racism claims. I was taken by what you said at the beginning of the last segment, which was that President Obama often speaks to these issues well before he even knows the facts. And I remember the template was set in his first year in office, obviously with the Cambridge arrest of his friend, when he said I believe I'm getting it exactly right when he said, "We don't have all the facts, but we know the cops acted stupidly." I think that's a close direct quote.
Yeah, no, it was very disappointing. And the thing is, obviously, it was proven later on, I think, to anybody's satisfaction, that racism hadn't been involved in that. But President, of course, never backed off of his original statements. So I think that's one of the big problems with people going and making statements too quickly, and that is it's hard for them to change, even when the facts come out the other way. Whether it's the Trayvon Martin case and the numerous statements that the president and his administration made about racism supposedly involved in that, or you have the Ferguson case with Michael Brown. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that anybody who's looked at either of those cases or any of those three cases think that racism was responsible for what happened in those cases. If you have a large man reach into through the open window of a police car and try to grab the police officer's gun, the gun discharges, he runs away. Police officer gets out of his car and he starts charging back against the police officer. What do you want the police officer to do at that point? I mean, it's not obvious to me. And yet the administration never, and President Obama never, backed away from their initial statements. And in fact, if anything, they doubled down with a really egregious report that they did on the Ferguson Police Department. It was pretty similar the discussion that we just had about the president's statements after these shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota, the Ferguson report, they said something to the effect that, well, look, about a third of Ferguson's population is black. About 76% of the traffic stops involve blacks. And so it must be that there's discrimination. You know, just one simple fact I'll mention. There are seven cities that surround Ferguson, that border it on all of its sides. The average black population in those seven cities is like 90%. And, you know, they don't break it down by where the people are from. You know, like a lot of cities, they'd like somebody other than their own taxpayers to pay for the cost of the city. And so they have, I've talked to law enforcement there, and the traffic stops primarily are on roads that are used by people in these other cities passing through Ferguson. Not the people in Ferguson who are being caught. So if anything, I mean, if you're looking at the population being about 90% in the surrounding areas, it's actually low relative to the share of blacks in those places. But, you know, it's just a ridiculous comparison in any case.
John, this is Chris. I guess a couple points there. One is, we're going on the assumption that the administration, when they make these comments and jump out in front of these issues, we're going on the assumption that they're interested in the facts and that they're acting in good faith. I think that's suspect. I suspect instead that these statements by Obama and by Eric Holder and their ilk are really being used to whip up the base in order to maintain their political position. Right. I mean, they're not doing the sort of careful work that you do. Do you see that?
Fortunately, I've come to believe that over time. I knew Obama when we were both teaching at the University of Chicago Law School. We overlapped for about 4 years there. And, he was a pretty strong ideologue back at that time. And, the problem is that these types of comments have real consequences. It whips up people. It creates racial divisions in the country. Look, discrimination is bad. If you find evidence of discrimination, you should point to it. I have absolutely no problems with the president speaking out on it. But to go and use obviously bogus and useless numbers, like going and claiming, well, blacks and Hispanics make up 50% of the prison population, but they're only 30% of the population. Do we really want justice to have it so that we match, whether it's, men make up 49% of the population, so men should make up 49% of the people in prison? Is that really the way we want to go and have a criminal justice system set up? I assume nobody would defend that. But that is what the president is arguing for when he makes those types of comparisons. And it upsets people. I mean, I can't tell you the number of angry emails that I got after my New York Post piece ran. It was very depressing, discouraging to get some of the comments that were made there.
John, let me ask you this question, because there's a lot of talk about cop shooting black citizens and that sort of thing. But just to put a number on it so the people understand the magnitude of the issue, How many people are shot of all races, or about how many people are shot by cops in this country in a year? About how many of those are black?
You have maybe a couple thousand each year that are shot, and maybe a little bit less than that. And you have maybe about a quarter are black.
Is that shootings total, or is that just with deaths? So we're talking about on the order of 500.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
So we're talking on the order of, you say there's a couple thousand and a quarter of those are black, meaning that 75%, by the way, are not. But so we're talking about, in absolute numbers, we're talking about sort of 500 people.
Yeah, it's probably closer to like 400.
So 400, I mean, I guess, and a percentage of those nobody thinks are not justified, right? They're in pretty clear-cut circumstances?
Yeah, the vast majority of those, 95% of those, are deemed to end up being justified.
So Yeah, I get, and this is my point, I guess. Let's just to use your numbers, which I know are you're kind of using round numbers, but if 95% of 400, there's maybe 20-ish that are somewhat questionable. I mean, just last week there were 5 cops murdered by a disgruntled black man in Dallas. It strikes me that that the response is way out of proportion to any perceived problem.
Look, the vast majority of people who are shot, I mean, like, we're talking about, like, 85%, 90% are armed in some way.
Dr. Lott, we do have to leave it there, but I wonder if we could have this as a down payment for you to come back at another time. This was tremendously helpful and enlightening, and I really very much appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Lott. I'm Seth Leibson. That's Chris Buskirk. We'll be right back for some concluding thoughts.